WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Federal hate crime and multiple state charges have been filed against the suspect in yesterday's fiery attack on a group in Boulder, Colorado, showing support for Israeli hostages in Gaza. Authorities say suspect Mohammed Soleiman is an Egyptian man who came to the U.S. legally, but his visa's expired. CBS's Anna Schechter.
They describe a year-long planning, searching on the internet. He looked to find what he called Zionist groups. And he found this one in Boulder and learned from their own Facebook posts that they would meet weekly at 1 p.m. He knew the time. He was there just 5 or 10 minutes before with all of the materials that he had purchased and prepared for this attack.
The wheels of change are beginning to turn at embattled Newark Liberty Airport in New Jersey. Construction of one of its runways has been completed 13 days earlier than initially anticipated. CBS News New York's Tim McNicholas says connections are also ramping up underground.
The FAA says Verizon just installed a new fiber line to improve communications for Newark's air traffic controllers. But the FAA says they're still testing that line, and the agency hopes to activate it by early next month.
The Senate returns from recess, and a big item on the agenda is the budget bill that would enact several of President Trump's legislative priorities. But there are a handful of Senate Republicans who have expressed opposition to the bill. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns reports from Capitol Hill.
Josh Hawley, a very conservative Republican from the state of Missouri, and he has been sounding the alarm bells about these potential cuts to Medicaid, especially the impact that it could have on rural hospitals in his state.
Wildfires rage in Canada, sending smoke into some U.S. states, affecting air quality for some. Meteorologist Craig Allen reports.
The northern tier of the United States is experiencing the very smoky skies from these fires, especially across eastern portions of North Dakota, but more so Minnesota more than any other state, but portions of Wisconsin and Michigan as well.
Wildfires are a concern for some here in the U.S. KCBS's Matt Bigler in Northern California.
Grasses that sprang up during the rainy season are now bone dry. That's one of the reasons there were two brush fires in Oakland and in San Jose over the weekend, the latter burning dangerously close to a homeless encampment where Frankie lives.
And it was a small fire, but because the wind was so strong, it quickly spread all the way from one side of the road all the way to Taylor Street.
Fortunately, no injuries were reported. Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Jose, California.
This is CBS News.
Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. Bundle today at progressive.com.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the Brewers and the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Reds open a three-game series in Cincinnati tonight. Yesterday, the Brewers with a 5-2 win over the Phillies to complete their first sweep in Philadelphia in 10 years. This despite a shaky start from lefty Jose Quintana, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana didn't have his best outing, walking three guys early. I think they all scored, or two of them scored, and then gets hit in the knee, but then responds and gives us two good innings. Our bullpen was challenged him in the zone. This is a really good team. You know, best record in the National League.
Pitcher Tyler Alexander designated for assignment. NFL, Packers resuming OTA practices this week in Green Bay. In golf, 25-year-old Maja Stark of Sweden finished 7-under par to win the Women's U.S. Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin.
It's so cool just looking at all the names on this trophy. And I mean, I love the U.S. Opens, and I'm so happy that it's mine now.
That's Maja Stark with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price for the overnight. Areas of smoke, some showers, and storms will move through as well. Look for winds out of the south and morning lows in the mid-60s. On Tuesday, some showers and storms around. Our temperatures, though, will fall back into the lower 60s later on. It's 69 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll take a look at what's happening in the state budget, your phone calls on that, and what's worse, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair. Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is the first Monday of the month. Therefore, it is time for our monthly segment called, Calvin,
Beyond the Cheese.
It's our opportunity to highlight businesses and industries in Wisconsin that are outside of the dairy industry. So we are delighted to be welcoming in studio from the McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company in Milwaukee, John and Kate McLaughlin. Good morning. Thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's our pleasure to be here.
How long have McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company, how long have you been in business?
Well, we just celebrated 15 years, but we had a bit of an evolution. So we first started as the Brass Rooster.
I remember.
And then we added the Hen House. And then when we needed to come up with our business plan and our plan of attack, really, to survive COVID, we became McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company.
I'm so glad you're still there. You're still on Kinnickinnick.
Yeah, same location. We actually shrunk down.
Just a little bit?
A little bit, and refined what we really needed, and it ended up being one of the best things we've ever done.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, obviously, what you do is very niche. You make hats by hand. You are a haberdasher. You are a milliner. You actually still use the old forms that they used to use. It's an art, what you do. It is.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, thank you. It is. When you walk into our shop and atelier, it is like literally stepping back in time because we're surrounded by antiques making contemporary headwear.
And when you were both in high school, was this some? I want to be a hat maker one day. That's really where I'm going to put all my energy. How did this even evolve?
She's sitting right here.
It was you, Kate.
Well, I always knew from a little girl on I wanted to be a costume designer because of Singing in the Rain, my favorite movie. And so in the 80s, I was always making all of my own clothes. I was literally Molly Ringwald in Pretty in Pink.
How awesome.
And so junior year in high school, when we had home ec classes, I made my very first hat. And that hat was something you would expect on stage. And it was large, and it was tapestry with flowers and feathers and veiling. And my classmates made like little braided headbands.
That would have been me.
Yeah. So, you know, I went with it with gusto. And then in fashion design school, there was only one millinery class available. And I took it and excelled. And then it was something I developed throughout my entire career in fashion, in bridal, and then in costume tech, being a costume technician and designer.
The whole process, because I interviewed you many years ago when I was working for a different radio station, the whole process is so much more complicated than people realize, right?
100%.
So if you can briefly explain the making of a hat.
So the whole thing actually starts with sitting down with the client and asking them a huge barrage of questions.
Okay.
So it'll be everything from what colors they tend to wear, what they're going to use it for, if it's a special event or if it's for every day, if it needs to be rugged or... So we go through all sorts of things and then we have them try on different styles that we have in already.
Sure.
And then we'll look at different colors and we start going through our vintage selection of ribbons and we refine everything down, take measurements. And then actually a device that I have here that was made in 1892, we use for every custom hat that we make. And it's called the Conformateur. It was made in Paris in 1892. It looks like a mechanical top hat. And when you put that on somebody, it punches out a card with a 1/6 reduction of their head size and shape. And then we put that into another piece, which is an enlarger.
Okay.
And that becomes a...
The template?
Yeah, it becomes a perfect copy of their head. So we can take that and put it on the inside of the hat, and it custom shapes the hat to their head without them being there.
Wow. Now, there used to be a lot of chemicals involved in the process of making hats, like really not good for you chemicals.
Oh, absolutely. And when we're talking about hat making, there's actually two main divisions. That's millinery and hatting. So millinery is the art of women's hat making and hatting is the art of men's hat making.
So you're not a haberdasher anymore?
A haberdasher is somebody who sells men's hats and other goods.
Oh.
So when we first opened, I was a haberdasher. We all were. But when I'm making a woman's hat, I'm a milliner. When I'm making a men's hat, I'm a hatter.
And you're a hatter.
Yeah.
And actually, we have three of maybe about 15 master dress hatters left in the country.
Yeah, in our little atelier.
Store.
Yes.
In your store.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but I can tell you none of the chemicals that we're using are as terrible to our bodies as they were at the turn of the last century all the way through like the 1930s.
Yeah.
We're using much kinder chemicals and stiffeners and sizings and glues and things. To make the hats.
If you're just joining us, we are going beyond the cheese with the McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company. And John and Kate McLaughlin are in studio with us talking about the art of making men's hats and making women's hats. They used to use mercury.
Oh, yeah.
So good for you.
100% gives you right? neurological damage.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
The first sign of it actually is the loss of fine motor skills. So you would get tremors. And the hat-making capital of the world at the time was Danbury, Connecticut. And mercury poisoning was so prominent in that area that it was actually known as the Danbury Shakes.
And how were they using mercury in the making of hats?
They're treating the fur.
The fur felts that we used to make the hats. And they would put them through huge mercury baths to make them more water repellent and water resistant.
Oh my.
So it wasn't just the people working the mercury baths themselves. It was people handling the hats all the way up to the trimming rooms. The vapors would affect the people on the floor above. There were all sorts of problems.
And how long did it take them to realize that mercury was the problem?
Until the early 30s.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So there are little tests we can do today to check like an antique or a vintage hat. And we do hat restoration and renovation at the shop as well. We're actually one of the very few shops left in the country that will do full refurbishment of hats, men's and women's. And there's been a few times where we've had to let a customer know that because of the age of the hat,
it was treated.
And so the hatters have to deal with that differently. And of course, price accordingly.
Sure.
For that.
Well, that's great to know, though, if someone has... Great-grandpa's favorite fedora that's been sitting in a closet for 45 years, there's a place to go and have it restored. That's remarkable.
That's one of her favorite things to do. Oh my gosh. Renovating Grandpa's hat.
Really?
Resizing it, putting in new sweatbands, new ribbons, giving them a new life. I mean, that's a huge, because the quality of the base felt that they're made out of is better than what you can get now.
Now, I bet.
So refurbishing them is you're getting a better quality piece and you have an emotional attachment to it. So why not refurbish something instead of making something new?
And I think the best gift to everybody working on those hats is when the hatters, John and Steve, get into it and they hit that grandpa's hat with steam. They can often say to the customer, did your grandpa smoke cigars? Did your grandpa use hair product?
Did he wear Bayrum hair pomade?
Gel or something?
Because
you can smell it.
Oh, he's a Dapper Dan man.
Yeah. Also, too, one of the things John will often surprise customers with is, oh, grandpa was left-handed. And they're like, how would you know that?
And you can tell from the wear pattern on the hat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I can tell which direction they wore it, if they tilted it to the left or right. Depending on if there's dirt and wear marks on the felt from the top of their ear.
So you're doing an archaeological
forensic hat work.
That is so cool.
And then the stories about Grandpa. And then the tears often come. And then I think one of the best things we can do is we have a device from the 1920s that will perforate initials into this leather sweatband. And we've had several times where a hat has come in and it fit the customer. They had the same size head as Grandpa. And Grandpa's initials will be on one side of the hat.
Made with the same machine from the 20s. So when we do it,
it matches.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we put their initials in the hat.
How long did it take you to acquire all of that machinery from the early days of hat making? That must have been a process in and of itself.
Finding the equipment is half of the battle.
Right.
So there are a good amount of people who are interested, but they don't have, you can't be a race car driver without a race car.
Right.
And finding the right equipment is next to impossible these days. So we were quite fortunate. A big bulk of our men's hatting equipment actually came from the country's still running oldest hat shop, which is in Detroit, Henry the Hatter. And when their master hatter, Clarence, retired after 45 years in the business. He started there as a porter in the bathroom after World War II
and ended up
as the master hatter and the third gentleman in the world to hold the current owner when he was born because he worked for his father. His daughter works for them now.
And they are still in existence.
And he wanted his equipment to come to Kate and I because he knew that we'd keep it together and use it for what it was meant for.
So we really just feel that we're the current custodians of this collection.
And we add on to it everywhere we can find pieces.
I bet.
It's a dopamine hit whenever hat blocks or hatting tools come up. It's like our temperature rises and we have to have
We'll hunt leads down.
But I would think that those pieces, when you talk about the blocks and all the things, the early stepping stones of making hats, either just got thrown away over the years, right?
Oh, and there was...
Or ended up in somebody's attic or in their garage.
When late 60s, early 70s, things were really shutting down. Men's hat wearing was not in vogue for the majority of people.
Right.
There's a picture in Pittsburgh of a huge hat factory that used to be there. And there were so many wood forms and blocks that there were teams of people just throwing them out the windows into the river.
Oh.
And there's a burn pile in the lot next to the building where they're just burning.
That must
all
just
of the four. Oh, it kills
your
me.
Heart.
It makes me want to go scuba diving in the river.
I bet.
In Pittsburgh, which nobody wants to do.
and the whole process now, so dealing with contemporary hat blocks and then having antique ones fixed, we lost our last American hat block maker over a decade ago now. And he retired in his late 80s. And so when it comes to the wood forms, there's no one in this country that continued the art
of making
the sculpture and the proportion of making those. So if we're getting anything new, the best is coming from Great Britain or Australia.
We're going to continue our conversation with John and Kate McLaughlin with McLaughlin and Hayes, hatters, milliners, on KK in Milwaukee. Stay with us. This is Beyond the Cheese on that Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Matt Nair on Air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on to tap.fm/contest-terms. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Beyond the Cheese.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined in studio by John and Kate McLaughlin, owners of McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company on Kinnickinnick. Is it Bayview?
It is.
In Bayview. We will include a link to your website in our show notes so people can check it out after the show and take a look at some of the wonderful, wonderful hats for men and women that you make. We need to bring hats back.
Absolutely.
We really, really do. My father was a mortician. He always had his fedora that he wore. You would not go out without them. What are your customers like now? Who's shopping at McLaughlin and Hayes?
Well, Our mantra is stand out, look sharp. So we have clients who, of course, come in for that aesthetic, that they, you know, really pay attention to how they present themselves, either because that's how they grew up or they're having a change in life and they want to just give themselves a little more self-care.
Sure.
And
we get people from 4 or, I mean, even younger to dead.
You have 4-year-olds who want hats?
Or their parents do.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they'll bring them in, and it little girls who want to put something on, you know, everybody. And they're just, when the kids come in and they see the variety of colors and textures, feathers, everything, it's huge for them. So they, you see what they're drawn towards, and everybody's got something different.
I bet.
Yeah. How it's interesting. The last thing you put on. It's the first thing people notice, and it's just an outward expression of who we are.
Yep, absolutely. And that's why when you become a hat wearer, the day you show up someplace without wearing a hat, it is jarring to other people.
I bet.
Because others look forward to seeing what the hat wearers are wearing, even though that they may not be wearing them yet themselves. They look forward to it. And it's almost every customer of ours, man, woman, everyone in between, it gives a permission for people to say, you know what? I can do that too. I have now been inspired. You're wearing that. You're being you. That's fantastic. And so that's something too that we really encourage in the shop is to, of course, we rarely put a wrong hat on a person unless they ask.
Because but they do exist.
They do exist. I'm sure. They do. There's a lot of math that goes into what we do. And, but there's just really a joy in our shop because people not only are coming in to get what they want, but they're discovering something about themselves.
And you said something important, though. Not every type of hat looks good on every human.
No, not at all.
I can't wear, I need a brim. I have to have a hat with a brim. Otherwise, I look like a mushroom head. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's very much a personal thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes, it is. It comes down to style. It comes down to what colors you're comfortable wearing, or if there is an event that you're going to that you need a hat.
Do you do a lot of weddings?
Actually, right now, we're doing quite a few in the Atelier, beautiful couture and bespoke bridal. Oh, and now,
gorgeous.
Yes, thank you, thank you. That's where a lot of my passion lies. And
she has a long history with bridal. When she lived in Detroit through all of the 90s, actually, in the city, she worked in high-end bridal, and so that's something, a theme that's come through. So when she gets to do those pieces now.
Oh, I bet it's magnificent. I know you do fascinators, too.
Oh, yes,
Which is like a half-hat commitment.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Because you don't, if you wear a hat, you are married to the hat, mm-hmm. essentially. But a fascinator is a little bit more forgiving.
Absolutely, it is. And there tend to be more sculpture that we wear that are just fun and fantastic.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
So it just really, every hat fascinator, whimsy that we might make, they're just so personal. And another thing that we're starting to see is more moms wearing hats for weddings.
Good.
Yes, which is lovely.
Mother of the bride, you mean?
Mother of the bride guests. Because it's a wonderful thing that I think a lot of Americans have forgotten, that when we celebrate ourselves or we celebrate the rites of passages for others, we forget that we can dress to celebrate them. And we're not dressing to be a showboat. We're dressing because we want to honor them and say, we think you're special. And so here I'm going to put on this fabulous hat because this is a party.
Yeah, there was one evening we actually had a worker at the Warner Theater for the symphony who showed us to our seats and then said, I'd just like to take a moment and say thank you for dressing up this evening. You guys look fantastic. It's such a pleasure when people dress up because we understand that it's a tip of the hat, no pun intended, to the performers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you're showing your respect and deference to them.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. You got to check it out. There's a reason you need a fascinator. I know there is. There is something coming up where you need one, or a felt hat, or a straw hat, or any kind of hat that you're looking for. They can do it at McLaughlin and Hayes. We only have about 90 seconds left. Are you training any young people? Is there anyone who's coming in?
When we changed our name, we took our partner of 11 years on, and he's the Hayes. And then we do have a couple of people, but nobody dedicated. We teach classes on both men's and women's hat making. That can be customized for either groups or longer term to learn skill sets, but we don't have a dedicated apprentice at the time.
At the time, but you know, they're very well, one will pop up. I'm also currently teaching at Mount Mary University in the fashion department.
Fabulous.
Millinery.
John and Kate McLaughlin with McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company on Kinnickinnick in Milwaukee. Go check it out. We will include a link to their website in our show notes. Don't miss it. Thank you both so much for coming down. Really, really appreciate your time.
It was our pleasure.
We have news coming up next. And then when we return, a little audio sorbet. What is the one thing you're putting off at your house? This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just let you excuse my dust when I stop on the gas, or I'll be there.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Federal prosecutors have filed hate crime charges against the suspect alleged to have injured 12 people in a Boulder, Colorado event supporting Israeli hostages in Gaza. Boulder County District Attorney Michael Doherty describes state charges.
Our office will be prosecuting the attempted murder charges and related charges at the state level. This approach will accurately reflect the actions the defendant is alleged to have taken and the harms that he caused.
Flight delays should ease at Newark's troubled airport with construction on one of its runways completed.
We all want to get to where we're going, so that's super, super good. I'm happy to hear that.
The Senate has begun considering Medicaid changes in the big budget bill passed by the House.
They did institute federal work requirements, and they have changed the cost sharing, so states may have to fill a gap in terms of the cost that they may not be able to fill.
Correspondent Caitlin Huey Burns, CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
It's the Brewers and the Reds. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Reds open a three-game series in Cincinnati tonight. Yesterday, the Brewers with a 5-2 win over the Phillies to complete their first sweep in Philadelphia in 10 years. This despite a shaky start from lefty Jose Quintana, manager Pat Murphy.
Quintana didn't have his best outing, walking three guys early. I think they all scored, or two of them scored, and then gets hit in the knee, but then responds and gives us two good innings. Our bullpen was challenged him in the zone. This is a really good team. You know, best record in the National League.
Pitcher Tyler Alexander designated for assignment. NFL, Packers resuming OTA practices this week in Green Bay. In golf, 25-year-old Maja Stark of Sweden finished 7-under par to win the Women's U.S. Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin.
It's so cool just looking at all the names on this trophy. And I mean, I love the U.S. Opens, and I'm so happy that it's mine now.
That's Maja Stark with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mark Hamill is done, as Luke Skywalker, that is. The actor says no one should ever expect him to appear as Luke Skywalker again in any way, shape, or form. Deadline reports that Hamill says the franchise should rely on new faces. He last appeared as Luke Skywalker as a mentor to Daisy Ridley's character Rey in The Last Jedi. He's probably serious, but as we've learned, a Jedi never really dies. Just 5 days until you can purchase Bathwater Bliss, also known as the Sydney Sweeney-inspired soap. What inspired it? The fact that there is a market for men who want soap that smells like her bathwater. Sweeney says it's a way to connect with her pre-vert fans, and let's be honest, it's a lot more intimate than an autograph. I'm not really sure whether or not the soap will get you clean, but I doubt her patrons are concerned about that. Sweeney, on the other hand, might be the cleanest person in the world, because if the soap sells like hotcakes, she'll be in the tub around the clock.
Mmm, hotcakes.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. For the overnight, areas of smoke, some showers, and storms will move through as well. Look for winds out of the south and morning lows in the mid-60s. On Tuesday, some showers and storms around. Our temperatures, though, will fall back into the lower 60s later on. It's 69 at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. And they're like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we're joined by dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser as we start the annual show of appreciation who make June Dairy Month possible.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our thanks again to John and Kate McLaughlin from McLaughlin and Hayes Hat Company on Kinnickinnick in Milwaukee for stopping by for Beyond the Cheese for June.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great little shop. We will include a link in our show notes so you can check out some of the amazing things that they make. Hats for men and women and children, you name it. If you have a special event coming up, it doesn't even have to be a special event.
If you just want to look good.
If you just want to style a little bit, go get yourself a hat for McLaughlin and Hayes. It's a wonderful, wonderful And one of the few left in the country.
Wow.
I know.
That's amazing to me.
It really is.
I feel like, I mean, they mentioned it too. I feel like hats are going to make a comeback. I feel like there are people my age and younger who appreciate some of those.
Are you hat curious?
Oh, I'm very hat curious. I'm always hat curious, but there's two major problems. One, just the commitment to a hat like that. Like I've got like 4 dozen baseball caps of varying teams and things being said on them, and I don't wear them a lot.
Right.
But also, I have a ginormous skull, and the fit's got to be perfect.
Of course.
And so that's always been a deterrent, and you can't just walk up to a stand and be like, I think this hat looks good, because it's like, it hurts.
Well, that's why you want to go to McLaughlin and Hayes, because they will make a hat to fit your head.
Yeah, exactly.
We make a hat to fit your head.
It sounds like a personal injury attorney, but it's not. It's a hat. It's a place that makes sense. We make hats for your head.
For your head, exactly. Check him out, McLaughlin and Hayes on KK in Milwaukee. This is the portion of the program that we like to refer to as Audio Sorbet.
Ooh.
Where we take a little minute to take a breath and get away from the news and get away from politics and just lighten things up a little bit. So before we started the show this morning, Greg and Calvin and I were having our confab, as we always do, about what we did over the weekend. And we started talking about household projects.
Yarp.
What is the project you need to get done? And you walk past it every week and you go, oh, I'm going to do that next weekend.
And you talk about it out loud to other people every week or month.
So they can hold you to it.
Yep. And trust me, they get tired of hearing about it.
I need to fix the crack in that wall.
Yep.
One of these days.
Yeah, I need to get to that.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What is the project you have been putting off?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. I know for you for a long time it was that playset in the backyard.
That playset is almost completely gone. It's no longer visible as a derelict playset. It's now just pieces of wood against the house that I've been cutting up over the weeks and throwing them out.
Fair enough.
So that is 98% done. I said no, 95% done, because there's still like support beams in the ground that need to be dug up and replaced. But the big thing now for me is the landscaping. The yard is under control, but the house when we bought it had some really nice landscaping done. And by our own admission, we're not landscapers. We don't like
planting. Not necessarily your thing.
It's not our thing. So it kind of was left to its own devices and became a wildlife refuge.
That happens with nature.
Yeah. So really, it started this weekend. I mowed the lawn, and there's one particular thing in the front lawn that's sort of overgrown and wild. And I went through with the weed whacker, and I just cleaned it all out. And then the next step is to dig it out, clean it out. And then I'm going to put some like real easy annuals in there. Or perennials. What am I talking about right now?
Perennials. They come back every year.
Exactly. So I can just plant them and kind of be, I'll still attend to them.
Because you see, that's the thing with perennials.
Yeah.
You think you can just set it and forget it?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, then I have another idea, because there's some bricks that are in the soil.
Okay.
Just putting a potted something on top of it and just letting it be.
That works.
And then replacing it when needed. So it's not a project. It's just, oh, I got to go to the store and pick up a new thing or get some, you know.
And throw some flowers in there.
And that's what I want to do kind of with the rest of the house. We have this plot of land in the back that was definitely designed for urban farming. It's
that big.
It's not big, but it's just like you can, like this looks like it was specifically created to grow flowers and vegetables and whatnot.
Okay.
And we're not doing that either. So I want to take it all out and just put down some soil and put down some grass seed and just make it part of the lawn and be done with that. So
that's your project.
See you in 20 years. All right.
We all do that. We all have a project. It's like, yep, I'm going to do that next month. 855-752-4842. What is the project that you need to get done? And it looks at you every weekend. PJ on the live stream says, painting the exterior of my house. Paint is expensive and the weather needs to cooperate. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those big jobs, I think, you just look at it and go, ugh, because it's so big.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little daunting.
It's
different if you can say, can I just do this one quarter of the house this month?
Yeah.
And then get around to the rest of it?
Yeah, luckily we have like the vinyl siding. So I bought a power washer and we're good.
Oh, boom.
Yeah. So that is, those projects, I would probably talk to Bridget and say, let's hire some college kids.
They're not as easy to find as you might think.
I know, but still, it's just one of those. I mean, like I said, like when we were talking to Pat earlier about moving into your home and all these projects and all that stuff, when we were on his show this morning, you and I were, I was just thinking to myself, you know, we had our like standard for the home we bought was turnkey. We did not want to invest a lot of time and money into projects to make the house look great. We wanted a house that was already great and we could improve upon, but it was wasn't
move-in
like
ready.
You can't go in the bathroom right now. It's broken.
Right.
So that was the thing, is like when you guys were talking about like taking it down to the bare bones and building it back up, I'm like, no, thank you.
That's what we did with ours.
Yeah.
You know, we stripped things down to the studs in the mm-hmm. bathroom, in the kitchen and all of that stuff. But again, it depends upon the age of the house that you buy.
Yeah.
And we bought an older home that required that. But one of the things that I had been putting off, that I always put off, is washing the windows. And this is something that my mother did twice a year. She washed windows twice a year. I know it.
When you talk about washing windows, are you just talking about like spraying and wiping them down? Squeegee?
I am talking squeegee and taking out, because again, we have an older house that still has the weights in the windows,
mm-hmm.
and taking off the storms and all of that and washing the storms and putting them back up. So that's what I did over the weekend. At least in the kitchen. I got one room done.
That's more than you had done before you started.
This is true.
That's how, when we were talking about this before the show, we had to look at it, because I hear people talking about the projects they're doing, like, oh, I was in the garden, or I was in the backyard, or I was doing this project from sun up to sundown. Like, I can't, if I look at projects from that point of view, it will never get done.
It's too much.
So I have to look at it from, all right, I'm going to mow the lawn and I'm going to cut up some wood from the playset and I'm going to take care of this little thing as far as landscaping, and then I'm done. Then next weekend, I'll do a little bit more and a little bit more because we're not going anywhere.
Right.
It doesn't have to be done by next month.
Well, and I think otherwise you talk yourself out of doing it.
Every
just
time.
Because it's so much. Yeah. It's so much.
3 years I did that.
With that playset.
Jane, it's like between the playset and the landscaping, we were turning into that house. And to a certain degree, we still kind of are. I think in like a month's time, it'll be a lot better. But yeah, like, it, and Jane, it wasn't even a thing of like, oh, it's a playset. It was like I had taken apart part of it, and one half was leaning on the other half.
Oh, God.
For like 6 months. Yeah. So, yeah.
And every time you look at it, it's like, oh, that looks bad. I should do something about that.
Yep.
855-752-4842. What is your playset in the backyard?
What's your playset?
What's your playset? What is the project you have been putting off at your house for months and months and months? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Calvin, anything going on at the Calvinator household that needs to get done that you just keep ignoring?
I don't really have anything personally, but to Greg's point about looking like that house, my mom, whenever our lawn is getting out of control, she always says we look like the Beverly Hillbillies. And so that was her project this year, was making sure we don't look like the Beverly Hillbillies anymore. So she's redone all their flower beds and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Do you have to help with that?
Me and my brother just have to trade off every weekend mowing the lawn. That's our
yard project. So bad.
Well, it's really not.
Here's the question.
Bad.
How big is your yard, though? Because you live out in Western Waukesha County, and those yards can be big.
I live in a subdivision.
Never mind.
It takes me about an hour to do the whole thing. Okay.
That's not too bad.
No, it's really not bad at all.
No, it's good. I now throw the headphones on, throw some music on, and just...
And do it.
Work. Yep.
We were driving yesterday. Some friends and I were heading out to Costco, and in my neighborhood, some of the houses are much smaller. He had the biggest lawnmower I have ever seen, a riding lawnmower for the smallest lawn I had ever seen. I don't even know how you turn the thing around in this teeny little lawn.
See, that's the thing, too, is that, like, I had a riding lawnmower when I was a kid, but I think I mentioned this on the show. Our yard was bigger than the one I have now. And we also mowed our next door neighbor's lawn. So it was
you had a fair
justified.
Amount. Yeah.
If I did that now, I would spend so much money and mow my lawn in 4 minutes. And it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It was like, wow, I don't even know how you turn that thing around in that little postage stamp of a lawn. 855-752-4842. The project you have been putting off for months and months and months. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie.
My project hasn't been put off for months. It's been put off every year for 4 or 5 years now, is trimming the lilac bush that I dug up from my great-grandmother's place. And I want to keep the lilac bush, but it's grown so tall, I can't really get
up there.
Yeah.
To be trimmed.
Yet. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to get up on a 9-foot ladder, Ollie. I don't think that's a good idea.
Probably not. I keep mentioning it to my kids, but...
Dropping hints.
I think that's a lost cause.
I need to get that lilac bush trimmed. Yeah, you do, Mom. That's really too bad.
If only I had offspring who could do that for me. Wouldn't that be nice? Thank you, Ollie. I hope you get that thing trimmed up. Penny from La Crosse texting in, as you speak of projects that need to get done, I am on my roof. I'm putting another coat of coating on it. My motivation, I want to sell my building. Penny from La Crosse, listening on WLCX. Be careful up on that roof.
Oh, and speaking of people listening to us, I want to say shout out to Laura and Mequon, who came to the show this weekend and said hello. She loves our show.
Oh,
she
nice.
Loves Civic Media. And it was very nice to meet her, and appreciate you listening to local radio and patronizing small business. So
absolutely.
We appreciate you. Thank you, Laura.
That's
so much.
Wonderful. How many shows left, by the way, at Laugh and Tap?
Let's see, four. So one on Thursday, one on Friday, and then next week, one on Friday, one on Saturday, and then we have the open mic and finished. Then it's that version of it is closed down.
As we look for a new home.
As we look for a new home, and we'll announce more, but you can find out all that if you follow Laughing Tap on social media or go to our website.
When we return, we're going to wrap everything up with this Shouldn't Be a Thing Buzz Off Edition. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. Everybody's got a hurry, 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 hurry.
as Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down at our new clinic in Hudson. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Hudson. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and a whole people on what bunch of people on what used to be Twitter.
Yeah, hey, people on Twitter.
Morning.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. Hey, just a reminder, make sure you have the Civic Media app.
Why, Jane?
Because today, our statewide Sconny Summer Text to Win contest is underway. You have four chances for the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
In the 7, 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours, you will get a keyword that you need to text in over that hour. And when you do that, you are in the running for some fabulous, incredible prizes.
Oh.
So your next chance will be coming up in the Tom Hartman Show. Be listening for that keyword. You need to text in via the Civic Media app only. That's
yes.
The only way to play. It's our statewide Sconny Summer Text to Win contest. Again, four shots every day, 7, 11, 2, and 4 p.m.
And don't forget, spelling matters.
Spelling does matter. Yes, absolutely. So be listening for that keyword coming up with Tom Hartman after 11 o'clock. Coming up tomorrow on the show, Pat Kreitlow will be here from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Getting used to the name change after 9:30. And then we are hoping to talk to someone about games and how games are actually good for you.
Yes, they are.
And good for your brain.
Yes, they are.
So that's coming up tomorrow.
They should have called it the Pat Kreit Show.
You can suggest that.
Okay, fine.
For next time around.
I know when you don't believe in me.
Calvin, it's 11:54. It's getting late. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this from the Associated Press, Lisa Bauman, with the byline. Headline reads, "Millions of honeybees abuzz after truck overturns in Washington State." There was a buzz in the air Friday afternoon, Greg Bach. Lisa had a lot of fun with this. 250 million honeybees escaped a commercial truck that was overturned. It happened about 4 a.m. close near the Canadian border. The driver did not navigate a tight turn well enough, so he rolled his truck. And unfortunately, even with the response of deputies and public works employees and bee experts, the box hives came off the truck. Local beekeepers swarmed to try and recover and reset the hives. But Ed, there were like 250 million bees that escaped.
No, thank you. If I was, I'd be like, you want me to do what now? I'm not coming near that thing.
They're just looking for a home.
No. Look, the bees are the bees. They're going to live. They're going to do, I mean, they're going to do their thing. They're going to get out with it. But like, if you call me like, Greg, we need your help, I'd be like,
no.
For what? How many?
Right.
Where? Nah.
Local beekeepers swarmed.
Okay.
Lisa had a good time with this.
Twice with the swarm
pun. She's an Associated Press reporter. How often does she get to write stuff like this?
Yeah.
Swarmed to help restore, recover, and reset the hives. The plan is to allow the bees to return to their hives and find their queen over the next couple of days. The goal is to save as many of the honeybees as possible. This is really actually something that happens every year.
Mm-hmm.
And some growers hire hives.
Yeah.
And they move the bees around over the summer so that everything gets pollinated.
That's really smart.
It is.
I'm trying to make a really smart aleck bee joke there, but that's, you know, in favor of the environment and bees and whatnot, that's really,
it's
really nice.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And if you can have flowers in your yard, and honeybees are good bees. You don't want to mess with those kinds of bees. They're good for us.
Mm-hmm. And they really won't mess with you either. So
they
You know, they're big, fluffy, and fat, and cute.
It's the wasps and the yellow jackets
and the
hornets. That's a whole nother thing. But the sheriff's office said thank you to the wonderful community of beekeepers. Over 24 showed up to help ensure the rescue of millions of pollinating honeybees would be as successful as possible.
This is for another time, and maybe we could get someone who owns a honey an apiary on the show to talk about this. But how do you wrangle that many bees? Like, are you just like running around with a bag going, ah, get in? Or are you like, is there a science to being like, you know, you set some
it
foods
might be an odor,
or smoke or whatnot?
It might be an aroma or something.
Let's see if we can get a hold of an apiary.
Well, we'll look for a beekeeper.
There you go.
We'll look for a beekeeper. That wraps up today's edition of...
This shouldn't be a thing.
Again, don't forget our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest kicks off today. Your word will be coming up with Tom Hartman after the 11 o'clock news. So stick around for that. That is coming up very, very shortly. And then the next word will be in the 2 o'clock hour with Todd, and then the 4 o'clock hour with Maggie Dawn.
I just feel like this sounds so weird, and it just feels so cool and legit now. We're like, we have Text to Win contests, and you can win fabulous prizes. And I heard Todd Michaels talking about the rules on a commercial. I'm like, we have rules. Like,
we have rules, too.
I don't know. It just makes me feel very fun.
Text to Win statewide Scani Summer Text to Win contest is underway. So be listening again with Tom Hartman after 11 o'clock. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Federal and state prosecutors are outlining serious charges against the suspect in the Boulder, Colorado attack on a group of people supporting Israeli hostages in Gaza. It's being considered a hate crime with attempted murder charges at the state level. And correspondent Nancy Cordes tells us the Trump administration is focusing on the immigration angle as the suspect is here on an expired visa.
President Trump said acts of terrorism like this one will not be tolerated in the United States, and he said this is why we must deport illegal anti-American radicals from our homeland. Trump's deputy chief of staff, Stephen Miller, added no more hostile migration. Keep them out and send them back.
12 people were injured in the attack by incendiary devices in what Anti-Defamation League CEO Jonathan Greenbelt calls a normalization of anti-Semitism and attacks.
They're up nearly 900%.